Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. Call a friend and tell them that we're on the air and we are live. This is Tuesday. This is the 12th of February. We're moving right along in the year 2002. And we're into some interesting scriptures tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're going to begin in the book of Daniel, if you will. If you will turn to the book of Daniel, we're going to start at the 13th verse of the book of Daniel for you that are following along with us in the scriptures. And we're talking tonight about the secrets of Enoch, the secret book of Enoch, if you will, and the revelations and why that it was actually rejected by the fathers, the church fathers of the 3rd and 4th century A.D., as they deemed it too controversial, if you will, to put into the holy text. Now, why would it be controversial? Simply because today it is very controversial. But you think about if this was an authentic book and it had authentic teachings. Remember, I proved to you last night on the teaching series that the book of Enoch was quoted by the elders, Jude, and the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, and also by other of the old prophets, praise Yahweh, that mentioned in the Bible. The Bible says that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He lived 365 years, and he was taken. He didn't see death. Now, this is an amazing scripture to indicate that he did not suffer the mortal death of man. There's another one in the Bible that is mentioned that didn't see death, and these are the two witnesses that I believe that validates the teachings of the book of Enoch, meaning also that Elijah was translated and he didn't see death. Well, there is a lot of wonderful technology that would be available to us had it not been for the error of the watchers. Now, who are the watchers? The Bible speaks exclusively of the watchers, telling us that these are the ones that watch over the internal and external affairs of man. In other words, if they are loyal to the cause of man, then they are our friends. And if not, then they become our enemies. Well, that's what the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 6 indicates, that they themselves broke rank, became unloyal to the high command, if you will, the headship company of the Elohim, and the word Elohim is used where the Strong's number 430 in the Bible pronounces God. When it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that is a misnomer because it is Elohim. So the word Elohim, rather than a singular mighty one, as they were in on the foundational rearing of the earth and the making of man and things of this nature, and the angels had a very, very helping hand in the formation of the earth and the systems that you see here. The Bible says even that these angels shouted for joy when all these things were made. Now, it also indicates that there was a rebellion. That's where we're coming in with the book of Enoch tonight, to teach about this cosmic encounter, these rebellious ones, as they came down from the planet heaven. Now, wherever that is at, you make up your own mind where planet heaven is, but we do know that it's certainly not here upon the earth. Had it been, then why need for the creation of the earth? So then, these mighty ones, they came down, and the Bible indicates And I'm just giving you some straight-up talk here tonight and trying to get you changed in your mindset that we are not alone, number one. Number two, that these angels are like you in a certain sense. They are a little above you, if you will, and we are made a little lower than the angels because we fail. Now, some of the angels also fail by the same sin of Adam. That is, they begin to illegally select wives upon the earth and begin to bring forth offspring, and this created a major fiasco, if you will, upon the earth. And it took the angels and Yahweh's children many generations to eliminate their offspring from the earth. Now, I gave you indications that Goliath and his brothers and their offspring were here 1,000 A.D., that is, 1,000 years before Christ. They were still here upon the earth being hunted down by the direction of Yahweh. Yahweh had commanded the sons of Yahweh to kill these, crossbreed from these angelic affections with woman upon the earth. And they were killed wherever they were found by David and the marching armies of Israel. Now, the question remains, as I had indicated last night, did they get all these offspring? Did they find them all? Did some escape? Well, we know even if none of the offspring escaped, and we believe they did, but let's say that they didn't, just for the sake of the argument here, and we'll take the other position, then their progenitors did. The angels that bared them or went into the women and bared offspring, they escaped. We find in the Bible what happened to them. Jude talks about the book of Enoch, how that he relates in the book of Enoch what happened to these mighty ones and what is yet to happen to them. And then the Bible indicates, and here's your key scripture for the whole book of believing, that the book of Enoch and its real controversial substances or information that comes forth from the book of Enoch. What is this information? That these very angels that sinned, that brought forth offspring. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, it's just impossible for angels to bring forth offspring. Oh, really? Well, then that would disqualify Yahweh, who himself was one of these ministering spirits that we have to assist us. These other ministering spirits, angels, and the Bible says they were not to marry, but by defying the laws of Yahweh and the headship company of mighty ones, they came down here and mated with the daughters of men according to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, you need to put on your eyeglasses. I'm talking about your spiritual eyeglasses. Break out your Strong's concordance. Do a word search on the Hebrew, and you will see that Nephilim means from those who fell from heaven. Those who from heaven came is actually the correct Hebrew translation in Genesis 6, where it says that the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men. Now, those who from heaven came, Nephilim, who were actually, they came down here into the third dimensional realm as solid objects, if you will. They were third dimension beings, and they were able to bring forth children. And here we have, and you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, this is just too odd, too strange, and it's not true because we haven't seen any results or any evidence to support this. Well, we have the Bible to indicate that the watchers have been around a long time. I'm going to the book of Daniel. I'm going to the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read you the 13th verse. I saw in the visions of my head, this is Daniel doing the talking, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Now, that is the same scripture text word process that was used in Genesis 6 in the Hebrew. Those who from heaven came, this watcher, Now, who is a watcher? Why is the word, why is the connotation here? Why has the word watcher been coined into the King James Bible? The word itself is Nephilim that had entered into the Hebrew text in Genesis chapter 6. And the word Elohim is a process of that word, meaning that the whole family that Yahweh created before man was in total, if you will, the one-third angels that cast themselves down through disobedience to the command of the Mighty Ones or the headship company of Mighty Ones when they were commanded not to mix or mingle with the experimentation of the Elohim upon the earth, and that is man. Now, by defying the orders, the Bible says they begin to marry. Now, how long did they live here? We have evidence in text, written text, and the rocks. The Bible said if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. We have evidence to support in the Mesopotamian region of the earth where that stones have been dug up, these tablets, where that these Elohim came down here and reigned for thousands and thousands of years in up on the earth. Now, why did they do that? To bring forth offspring. They created little, if you will, little clans, little warring factions. One angel would gather a group of earthlings, if you will, into his corral, and the other angel would do the same, and then they would compete or vie and compete against one another for control of the earth. And these wars, that's how that actually man was taught to war, because we were taught from the gods that from heaven came, these mighty ones. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that this is very controversial. It is out of the Christian norm, and the only reason why it is out of the norm today is because the book of Enoch has been purged from the holy scriptures, been taken out, if you will, and cast aside. And even the rabbis who rejected the book of Enoch, because, you see, these Sadducees did not believe in angels. No wonder that they cast out the book of Enoch that spoke of angels, because the Sadducees themselves, they themselves do not believe in angelic visitation. Now, the Pharisees, the Bible said, believe in spirit and angels, but we believe also that the Roman Catholic Church in 325 A.D., when they brought in the bishops to rule, they ruled that the book of Enoch and these other books we call the lost books of the Bible were deemed unnecessary in the canonization of what we now have as the King James Bible. Here it is, this decree, verse 13, is from the watcher. Now, if you'll drop down to the 17th verse, Daniel goes on into the question here. Now remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying and given in marriage. Now, as you very well know, the Bible says for us to marry, it gives us commands to do so, and to be fruitful, and to multiply, and to replenish the earth. So, what is the sin of marrying, as it was stated in Matthew chapter 24, as it referred back to the sin of the days of Noah? If you go back to the 6th chapter in the days of Noah, the actual sin was angelic marriages with women as they brought forth offspring. And as the Bible says, and I hold it to be true, and it's coming to pass very soon, it may already be secretly being practiced here upon the earth, right under your very nose, and we will have, after that, these fallen ones initiate the contact with earthlings, or that is publicly announced, you will understand what Prophet Buddy here is telling you, that the time is coming again, that they are going to marry daughters of men, and they're going to be given in marriage, and they're going to begin to bring forth more offspring. And this is the very reason of the intervention of the other Elohim that came down and did battle with Satan and the fallen angels who were doing this illegal practice in Genesis chapter 6. Verse 17 says in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, this matter is by decree of the watchers. Now, since when do they have the authority to decree anything? Well, here they give the decree that Nebuchadnezzar will be sent into exile, if you will. He will be removed from his kingdom. He will actually go mad, if you will, in the way that we have in the modern terms. He goes insane, crazy. He loses his mind. And the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar is turned over to others, and he himself is driven in shame and humility down to eat with the beast of the field. And for 7 years, he has this because the watchers decreed that he would be insane for 7 years. And so it was. Now, how do they have the power to decree? By what authority do watchers have to decree anything? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if they have the power and authority to make declarations and it comes to pass, then you can believe one thing, that the headship company of Mighty Ones is still in control. Now, I'm talking about the two-thirds that is in obedience to the divine command. Now, remember, that leaves one-third of rebellious ones. And the book of Enoch, it talks about that the 200 angels that came down in the beginning. Now, listen to me. This is the initial sin of the 200 angels that came down. Many more joined them as they went back to heaven, and they met. They had a corporate board meeting, so to speak, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, and they were ruled out of order by mating and by mixing, and the 200 angels stood up to make their plea or to argue their case before the Supreme Council. And we are told that the Supreme Council ruled against these fallen ones, if you will, the ones that had mated and brought forth offspring upon the earth, that it was deemed illegal to do so. Now, there was a penalty involved, and by doing so, the Bible says, listen to the 7th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. This is where you get your keys, ladies and gentlemen, that the book of Enoch has been left out purposefully to deceive you, and the Christian church now is asleep. They need awakening. They need to go back to the divine principles of what happened in Genesis 6 to really see what happened in Genesis 3. From Genesis 3, I told you last night that the key to your understanding is between Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 6. If you can get the correct understanding in the three chapters there, then you can see why that the flood ensued upon the earth to drive out these wicked ones, if you will, and they were, if you will, herded up. They were hunted down, so to speak, by the two-thirds majority of the mighty ones, the watchers as they are called, as they remain loyal to the headship company. And the corporation board put out a wanted poster upon these outlaws that defied the commandment of Yahweh. And in verse 7 of the book of Revelation chapter 12, we find that there was war in heaven. Now, we're not talking about just a little figment or a little spirit war. They were talking about actually destruction. We have evidence upon planets that we can see visibly now, pot marks on the moon, and you say, oh, that's from crater impact. Well, that's what your scientists tell you. But if you was to actually look at some of the fragmentation in the asteroid belt, we believe that the planet, the very planet of the leader of the rebellion, is called Rahab in the Bible, and she was taken out according to the book of Job. She no longer remained in the solar system of the divine chain of command. Now then, that would only leave, as we know, of 9 planets that are now in existence. We have identified 9 planets that are in our solar system. Now, if there were 12 originally, and we believe that there was, then that leaves 1 to be announced. Praise Yahweh. And that planet, we believe, is on its way back into our solar system. This is the planet that Satan and these outlaws were chained. And we're going to do a teaching after we get through with the book of Enoch. I'm going to go back and show you the war. I'm going to talk about the war in the heavens. I'm going to take you through systematically, step by step, and to the process as the war ensued. And it went on, we don't know how long, but we do know it was for quite a while. And I indicated to you, but that the Messiah groaned in his own spirit when he was upon the earth and said, today, that very day that takes into account in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelations, it gives an account where Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And we go to the book of Jude and find out why the battle. Remember, Moses was, if you will, resurrected and sent into heaven by the Messiah. He was talking with the Messiah in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. And so was Elijah, who was actually the reincarnation, if you will, John the Baptist, of the reincarnation of Elijah. And these are the two mighty ones that we have that indicate that this was what the war started over. Satan desired the body of Moses. Now, why would he want this body? Because it typifies, it represents, if you will, a metaphor of the law that the Bible said contained all the holy covenants. Satan and his master deceptors had come in and they had changed the law. They had reworked it through the serpent seed who entered in as Pharisees and Sadducees. They had rearranged the law until it became unuseful to the mighty ones, the Elohim, and thus the war was started. Satan needed this power, this authority of the law of Moses to accuse the brethren. Now, when the war was finished, the Bible said the accuser was cast out. And ladies and gentlemen, we now have the problem now to contend once again in the last days for woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is coming down among you, knowing that he has but a short time to work. Now, we're in the last days. We believe that. And we believe that we are now almost at the point where Satan will be introduced to the earth and the world, for that matter, and the kings of the earth will be persuaded to fight with him and for him, because they're going to be persuaded that out there in the solar system is another planet. Now, get me, I'm talking to you about planets that haven't been discovered. One is the planet Nibiru, the other is the planet Heaven, and the other is the planet Rahab that was blown out of the solar system by the mighty ones when war started in the heavens over this very issue of Genesis chapter 6. That's why that they don't want, I'm talking about Satan's children, that's why that they don't want the book of Enoch read in the churches. It tells you that this carnal knowledge, these mighty ones coming down and mating with the daughters of men, they don't want you to know that, just like they don't want you to know in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, that Satan had a seed with a woman himself. We're coming back after the break. Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy, The Secret Things of Enoch. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Praise Yahweh with The Shepherd's Call. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to The Shepherd's Call. We got a good one going here tonight on The Secret of Enoch. And as I have indicated, the early church made the call to leave us wonderful book as it is talking about angels and their transgressions. Of course, Satan did not want this knowledge to be incorporated into the church world. Why? Because it would have brought out the truth, and Satan is the father of a lie. And so then, the deception and the cover-up continued until now, even today, that we've got men and women that don't even know what happened in Genesis chapter 3. They actually believe that it was some type of natural tree that the woman ate from. And this carnal ignorance of the spiritual things, and remember the Bible is written in codes, if you will, in secret language, and it's hard to understand. If you don't get a spiritual comprehensional understanding, if you don't have your, if you don't have tradition swept out your door, and your eyes anointed with a spiritual eye salve, you'll never get into the advanced secrets of the book of Enoch. Now, let me read you chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. This is the book of Enoch that enlarges the sins of the watchers. Now, the Bible speaks about the sins of the watchers, the abilities of the watchers to command. I've then given you indications in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. And it also tells about their marauding ways, angels that fail from their own steadfastness and left their habitation. They left the planet heaven. They were in rebellion. And so they became renegades, outlaws, if you will, considering the righteous ones, those who did not fall. They became enemies of each other, and they warred over this very issue. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into the climactic ages when these revelations shall be brought forth, and Satan and his angels appear all of a sudden, and I believe that we are now sublingually being subjected to the conditioning process to get us to accept that we're not alone in the universe. You can see our government. You can see the space exploration. You can see that they are hunting for, they have very, very high-tech, if you will, satellites and listening devices in the heavens monitoring radio transmissions. Why are we spending billions? And ladies and gentlemen, if I was to tell you the secret of government and how they operate and what they're operating with and what technology that they have, you wouldn't believe that either. You see, we're naive. We're just like the children that sat down to eat and then rose up to play. We turned this into a Christian game, if you will. Go to a little dry service, confess Christ, sign our name, and go on into the world, and whatever we are, be a good one. It takes more than that to make your entrance into the revelations and the hidden knowledge of Yahweh. You must strive to enter in. Now, notice this. The watchers enlarged their sins in the seventh chapter of the book of Enoch. They got caught up very severely in the bioengineering experiments of the mingling of the species. Now, let me repeat that. Maybe some of the myths, a half woman, half fish, some of these myths that you have looked at, horses mixed with animals, or mixed with man and half man, half animal situation. Maybe we're not too far from Mythville, and maybe the myth was in reality the truth has been handed down, and we consider it to be myth because nothing like that has happened. Well, we didn't have the technology, ladies and gentlemen, to make that possible. But let me inject now, forcefully and very truthfully, that in the bioengineering, genetic engineering, if you will, today we have the capacity to clone and to alter genetics and to splice genes to what we could make anything we want to. That technology is in the now. Now, understanding that 200 years ago, it would have not been even conceivable. And yet to go back and confess that the ancients, our, if you will, go back to our grandfathers of old, way back antiquity, into the days of Enoch, that these very things, according to the book of Enoch, were being practice and put into operation by these fallen ones who were bioengineering and using these experiments to mingle the species. Their indiscriminate sexual behavior. Now, I want to concentrate tonight on sexual behavior of the fallen ones. They had a very huge, large, uncontrollable sexual appetite because they lusted for the daughters of men who they deemed beautiful. This led to various mutant human forms and the practice of bestiality and cannibalism. We have here, obviously, a picture of biological experimentation that got wildly out of control, which is perhaps the great point to be made here. It is enlarged upon in the later chapters of the Book of Enoch, and now you see why, ladies and gentlemen, that the upper class, those that made the calls for what you read and what you don't read, no wonder all the manuscripts of the Book of Enoch and other precious scripture manuscripts were burnt and destroyed and taken away as evidence to keep you in the dark and blind, and these mighty ones were assisting these seed, we're talking about the serpent seed upon the earth, that took away the key of knowledge. You remember what the scripture says in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke? Beware, because they take away the key of knowledge. Talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, if you will, the children of Satan. And they get in the door. They will not go in themselves and hinder them that would. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a true saying, we are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, the only thing that we've got to go and the fragmentation after we had what we've got left, and we call it the Holy Bible, and then the Holy Bible itself tells us that books are quoted from and we don't have. Why? We have the Book of Enoch it was quoted from, and yet they don't want it in the canonization. They will not accept it as being authentic. Why? Because it tells these weird tales, if you will. It tells on the fallen ones, and the fallen ones do not want to be exposed at this time. Now, let me begin at the 7th chapter of the Book of Enoch, and I'm going to read to you just exactly verses 1 through 6. Now, listen and follow along with me. If you have the Book of Enoch, you can go with me here. If you don't, listen to me as I read. And again, I saw with my eyes as I slept, and I saw the heavens above, and behold, a star fell from heaven, and it arose, and it ate and pastured among those oxen. And after that I saw the large and the black oxen, and behold, they all changed their stalls and pastures and their cattle, and began to live with each other. And again I saw in the vision, and looked towards the heavens, and behold, I saw many stars descend and cast themselves down from heaven to that first star. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some interpretation of the vision of Enoch. Remember, the first star that fell from heaven was Satan. He was the number one angel in the hierarchy and the high command of the headship company of mighty ones. He was number one. He walked among the experimentation of the earth. He found Eve, this great star, if you will, this beautiful one. The Bible describes him as in beauty. His beauty was lifted up, and he fell because of his beauty and his desire to have offspring that would look like him. He knew the genetic manipulations, and he knew how to impregnate a woman. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take this as a fact that the number one angel in the headship company, he knew the plan of Yahweh. He also knew how to interfere, if you will. He knew how to put a genetic flaw into reality. And that's what he did. This is that angel that Enoch saw come down. He saw this angel come from heaven, and as they cast themselves to the heaven, the first star, They came and became bulls among those cattle and pastured with them amongst them. And I looked and I saw, and behold, they all let out their privy members like horses and began to cover the cows and the oxen. And they all became pregnant and bare elephants, camels, and asses. And all of the oxen feared them and were affrighted at them and began to bite with their teeth and to devour and to gore with their horns. And they began, moreover, to devour these oxen. And behold, all the children of the earth began to tremble and quake before them and fled from their very presence. This is in the first Enoch, 86, verses 1 through 6. Praise Yahweh. Now, the mingling of the species runs rampant in these chapters. Enoch watches in the company of his astronaut friends, both from the earth and from above. He has given a view of what is going on here. Now, notice as I quote out of the 87th chapter of the book of 1st Enoch, verses 1 through 4. And again, I saw how that they begin to gore each other and to devour each other. Now, cannibalism is coming into the picture here. And the earth began to cry aloud. And I raised mine eyes toward again to heaven, and I saw in the vision, and behold, there came forth from heaven beings who were like white men. Now, isn't that strange? And four went forth from that place, and three with them, and those three that had last came forth grasped me by my hand and took me up away from the generations of the earth and raised me to a lofty place and showed me a tower raised high above the earth, and all the hills were lower. And one said unto me, remain here till thou seest everything that befalls these elephants, these camels, and these asses, and these mutants, and the stars, and the oxen, and all of them. Stay tuned, said these angels. Now let me again read a very important point. And I saw from heaven, they came forth, behold, beings like white men. And four went forth from the place, and three were with them. Seven of the angels came down. Enoch describes them as white men, likened unto white men. Notice the Aryan display of these angels as they looked sort of like, if you will, Enoch. We believe he was from the generation of Adam. It is, however, notice now that he's talking about the mutant angels as they begin to mix and they begin to mingle. They get into devial sexual practices. They get into cannibalism. And ladies and gentlemen, we believe that's still going on today. It is, however, in the earlier chapters, especially 7 and 8, that the case for biological abuse is laid down in full address by Enoch. No wonder that the fathers did not want this exposed. You see, they were the serpent's seed offspring, and they were covering up, if you will. There is a conspiracy, and we have been missing some of the links as we go into the scriptures. An alternate Enoch manuscript in Greek elaborates further on the events of chapter 7, although it inaccurately states that the Nephilim were begot by giants, as does the book of Jubilees, both of which are later misconstrued, when in fact the truth is the other way around. Now listen to that it is the angels that begot the Nephilim, and these Nephilim are those who from heaven came as offspring of. And they bared unto them three kinds. First, great giants. And the giants became the Nephilim. And the Nephilim were born the Elud, and they grew according to their greatness. This is in book 4. The book of Jubilees bars from above as it quotes from the book of Enoch. The watchers against the law of their ordinances went a-whoring after the daughters of men. Now, I'm reading now from the book of Jubilees. No wonder the book of Jubilees, the book of Jasher, and the book of Enoch are not in the canonization of the scriptures. No wonder they left these things out. No wonder that they didn't want these in. I'm reading out the seventh book of Jubilee, verse 21 through verse 22. The watchers against the law of their ordinances, in other words, they defied the laws of the headship company, went whoring after the daughters of men, and took themselves wives of all which they chose. And they made the beginning of uncleanness. In other words, this is the first sin that began to be punishable by the watchers, as the other watchers who remained loyal to the high command came down and punished these for doing so after a number of years. Now, we don't know how many years. Perhaps it was for thousands of years when this went on, and I believe it was. And they begot sons called the Nephilim, and they were all unlike, and they devoured one another. And the giants slew the Nephilim, and the Nephilim slew the Elojah, and the Elojah mankind, and one mankind slew the others. And so we had utter chaos, cannibalism, and illicit sexual practices being going on according to the book of Jubilees. No wonder, ladies and gentlemen, we aren't to look into these books. No wonder that the whole Bible is telling us from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations that these same practices will come back in the last days and become rampant upon planet Earth. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, well, if you know what was going on in the Bohemian groves, then you would understand across the earth tonight where they practice these cult practices, where these watchers are encouraging their own kind, their own offspring, to carry on their practices, and they do it in secret places. Now, let's go into the book of 1 Enoch, chapter 8, and I'm going to read you verses 1 and 2. Now we're going to talk about Aziel. This is the angel that is mentioned in the book of Enoch. And Aziel taught how to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates. And he made known unto them, talking about the earthlings, the metals of the earth and the art of working them and bracelets and ornaments and the use of antimony and the beautifying of the eyelids. And all kinds of costly stones, and all coloring tinctures, for those there arose much ungodliness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray, and became corrupt in all their ways. 1 Enoch 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, here is this great angel, Aziel. Here he's given credit for teaching women corruption. And men as well. Swords and staves and makeup to enhance the beauty of the women. The book of Enoch makes it clear that the rebellious angels were corrupting influences just like the serpent of the book of Eden, or in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. So then, some later works, interestingly enough, such as the book of Jubilees, do an about-face. They blame the daughters of men for enticing and corrupting the fallen angels, when in reality it is just the other way around. But no wonder that we would judge our own unworthy as they fall victim to the lust of these mighty ones who from heaven came. Notice this, when John saw an angel in the book of Revelation, the Bible said he fell at his feet as dead. Now, can you blame any mortal man for being who they are and to act as they did? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth, and this is what we're in tonight in the book of Enoch. Now, notice this. The non-rebellious angels, seeing that the world was coming to a sad end, interceded for man's sake. Another archetype of this kind of angelic intercession can be found in the book of Job. Job chapter 2, verse 1, and the book of Zechariah, Zechariah 1 and 12. Apparently, some extraterrestrials have never given up on man's potential. And I wonder why. Praise Yahweh. Thou seest, it says in the book of Enoch, chapter 9, verse 6, and then I'm going to close as my time is come and gone. Praise Yahweh. Thou seest what Aziel hath done. Now, we'll pick up here in the next hour, and we're going to give you some examples of other reading scriptures in the book of Enoch and tie it into the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. I ask you to read the 4th chapter of the book of Daniel and the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis and the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And you will see in this the things that Pastor Buddy is teaching you tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to get about our Father's business. Well, you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Pastor Buddy, my time is almost gone. Let me give you my connect number. If you're going to call me tonight, you can call. And if you get voicemail, just simply leave your name and address. I will get back to you as soon as possible. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, you can email me at ejohnson, that's E as in lowercase eagle, ejohnson at wwgap.net. That's ejohnson at wwgap.net. And I can receive your email if you'd like to email. Very convenient if you have a computer. Just give me an email and say, just let me know you're out there listening. Praise Yahweh. And that you may not agree with everything Pastor Buddy is giving you here tonight, but you would have to disagree with the book of Enoch and throw it out as unfit for canonization, as did our early church fathers. We believe they were in error, and we believe it was a deliberate plot to cover up a conspiracy, if you will, to overthrow the righteous. Now, you can also write me at Post Office Box 2284, that's 2284, and the address is New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip is 37824. And that's how you can get in touch with Pastor Buddy. Now, let me tell you about Miracle 2 and my sponsors. Dr. Gary, you can find him at 1-877-289-7439 for Miracle 2. All these wonderful Miracle 2 products can be obtained from Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. You can call Dr. Jack east of the Mississippi here tonight and do me a favor and tell him Pastor Buddy sent you, 1-888-281-7320. And that's all the numbers you need. Both of these numbers are toll-free. It won't cost you anything to call. And you can order Miracle 2 products. We're talking about products that are wholesome and good and all natural. And we're talking about neutralizer that can help your internal body as well. So there's a lot of things to offer you on Miracle 2. Just call my sponsors, 1-877-289-7439 or 1-888-281-7320. And tell them Pastor Buddy sent you. Well, my time is coming down. I'll see you on Soundwaves at 9 Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to Soundwaves to continue this message on the book of Enoch. You join me there. Praise Yahweh. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern on Truth Radio.
Evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.